Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 3 lines from the top of Daf Chof Dalet. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Hoya Ikar, Nosein Lo Tzimdo. If one looks back at the Mishnah, Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, the lower part of the page, one will notice that Rabbi Eliezer was coming on the heels of the Tanakama, or the Chachomim, that spoke about vessels that are left with the person who vowed to pay an erech to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're dealing with a person who is of very limited means. The Mishnah enumerated different things that we leave with the person taking the vow, and don't calculate that as part of his personal wealth. Rabbi Eliezer added, if he's a farmer and he has a pair of cows that he uses for plowing, those are left with him as well. The question here is, what about the Tanakama, the Rabbonon's opinion on that matter? So the Gemara says, Rabbonon Hanohu, the Rabbonon hold that these, the Tzemet Shobokar, Lav Klei Uminus Ninhu, Ela Nechosim Ninhu, they're not considered vessels of his artisanship, but rather they are considered his property. So therefore, as being a representative of his property, according to the Rabbanan, they will figure in his net worth. Hoyo lo min echod v'chulei, the Mishnah had mentioned that if he had many vessels, he had different vessels that he uses for his work, if he has numerous vessels of one kind and, let's say, one vessel of another, the Mishnah did make a provision for a person to have two vessels or two utensils of each kind that he needs for his work. One being a backup if anything happens to the one that he is using. So that in principle, a person's entitled to have a backup vessel. The Mishnah mentioned, though, that if a person has several, more than just two, of one type of utensil, and only one of another utensil, so we don't make an allowance for him to sell off the extra ones that he has in order to buy a second one of that solitary utensil that he has. So the Gemara asks, well, that seems to be fairly obvious. Pshita, it's obvious that we don't make an allowance for the sale of the extra utensils of one kind that he has in order to buy a second one of the solitary one that he owns. Why is this? The Gemara asks, this seems to be pshita, it's obvious. Keichi desagi le'ad hashto, just like till now he was managing fine with one vessel, one utensil. Hashto nami sagi le, now that he's taken the vow and the Beis HaMikdash comes to evaluate him, he'll be able to live with one vessel. Why should we make an allowance for him to sell the extra utensils that he has in order to buy a replacement one? The Gemara answers, well, there is a Havamina. There is a point where one could have thought otherwise. Mahu detema. One might have thought that Ad Ho'idna, until now, when he's now having to pay up his vow, but until now, the Havilei Le'oshali, where he had multiple other utensils, he had a multiple... If we're talking about just to throw out an example, the man has is a carpenter and he needs hammers and saws. So we say that he's entitled to keep for himself two hammers, and if he had two saws, he could keep two saws. But we're talking here about a man that's got five hammers and one saw. So we're saying that he can't sell off the extra hammers to buy an additional saw. Just like till now he was managing all right with one saw, he can continue that way. Well, the Gemara says, I would have thought that until now, until he has to pay up the vow, until he vowed, he was able to manage with one saw, because the Havile Le'oshole Havi Moshlile, where he had extra hammers, he was able to loan them out, and if he needed something, he would be able to borrow just like he loans out, he could expect people to loan things to him. However, Hashto Deleko Demoshile Lo, but now that we're selling off his extra hammers, he won't have any. He won't have any other or extra utensils to loan out, so people aren't going to loan things to him. Komash Malon, that we don't take that into consideration, and we say just like he was managing with one saw till now, we're going to leave with him the one saw and not make any allowance for him to sell off those extra hammers in order to buy a replacement saw. Hahu Gavra Dizavninu Linichse. It was a case of a person who sold his property. Also Mekamed Rav Yemar. Omar Lahu Sliku Le Tfilin. This person who made a deal to sell off all his property, well, if he made a package deal in which he sold all his properties, included in that are his tfilin. So Rav Yemar said, take off this man's tfilin. That's also in the sale. The Gemara asks, well, what do I need this comment for? My komash malon mas nisini. What are you telling me? It's already in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, hamakdish nechosov malin loy tfilov. A person who sanctified all of his holdings, so we have to evaluate the cost, the value of his tefillin, and he's expected to pay that to the Beis Hamikdash and keep his tefillin for his own use. But when he's makdish is nechosov, we see that the hekdish covers the tefillin. So the term nechosov, whether it be in the context of hekdish or in the context of a sale, includes the tefillin. So what do I need this case involving Rav Yemar? The Gemara answers, well, without the case involving Rav Yemar, and had I just had the Mishnah, mahu detema hosam, who in the case of someone who sanctifies his vessels or his property, the savar mitzvah ko'avid, no, he figures, well, I'm performing a mitzvah by dedicating my holdings to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, since he's involved with a mitzvah, so tefillin are also included. Avol inyan zvuni, but with regard to a sale where he's selling his property, mitzvah de gufei lo zovin inish, a mitzvah that he himself needs to fulfill, namely the wearing of tefillin, that's not included in a sale. Komash malon, that's what Rav Yemar tells me, that when one sells his properties, even something like tefillin, which we classify as mitzvah de gufei, is included in the sale. The Mishnah. Echor hamakdish nechosov ve'echor hamarich atzmoi. A person, whether he sanctifies all of his property or he donates his erech value, ein loy b'ksus ishto v'lo b'ksus bonov. The gizbar cannot collect from his wife's clothing nor from his children's clothing, nor from dyes that he prepared for their benefit, for his wife and children, nor does the Beis HaMikdash have any claim on new shoes that he bought for them. And the Rashi points out there's a chiddush here, is that the emphasis that even new shoes, we're saying that they haven't worn yet, but once he buys it for them, it becomes considered theirs. And therefore, it's not these items that we enumerated here are not considered his, so that when he sanctifies his property, these things are not his to sanctify. Afal pi shomru avodim nimkoren b'ksuson l'shevach. Even though we know that a slave who might be worth, let's just say, 30 shekel, but if you buy for him clothing worth a little bit, he could be worth 100 shekel. just by dressing him up nicely, you can boost his price quite a bit. Sheim tilokach lo iksus b'shloishim dinar, mashbiach humona. If, for example, you would buy for the Eved clothing worth 30 dinar, he can then be worth 100. In other words, an investment in 30, you're increasing his value to 100, which is considered a very big jump in value. Rashi says here, "Afal pi shomer avolim imkarm b'ksusin l'shevach d'ksus yofe shelahen meshabachas umales demeim." A nice suit for the slave raises his value. Kagon gabi nichsi yisoyimim. This is relevant in the case of properties owned by orphans. Sheim tilokach le'eved ksus b'shloshim dinar. If you were to buy for, let's say they had an eved, and you bought using their property, their holdings, clothing for the eved worth 30 dinar, mashpiach humona al domim shu shav achshav. That could raise the slave's value by 100 more than he is worth right now. So for an investment of 30, you would be making for those yesomim a great profit. So that may be something allowed to be done when dealing with the property of yesomim. So even though that has been said, so let's read this line again in the Mishnah. Afal pi shomer avodim nimkorim b'ksuson l'shevach shim tilokach lo iksus b'shloshim dinar mashbiach humoneh v'chein pora. Similarly, with regard to a cow, im mamtinen oisa le'itlis, if you were to wait with its sale till the market day, yom hashuk, as Rashi says, Meshabachasi, it's worth much more. In other words, being sold today, it's worth a fraction of what price it could fetch if you sell it on market day. V'chein margulis, likewise with a pearl or a precious stone, imalin oiso likrach, if you were to bring it to the large city, mashbachasi, it's worth much more there. People there are willing to pay more than they are in the local village. Nevertheless, with all of these different considerations, we say, "Ein lehektish ela mekoymoi v'shaitoi." Hektish has, when we come to evaluate a person with regard to the topic that we've been dealing with in the last number of dapim, this concept of hesed yad, evaluating how much we can charge a person for his erech vow when you're dealing with a person of limited means. So how much is a person worth with regard to his property holdings? Do we consider what his property is worth in potential or what it is worth right now? So the Mishnah's conclusion is that we evaluate a person with regard to what his property is worth right now. So the pearl, that even though it might be worth much more if taken to a large town, it's evaluated as it is worth right now. How much would people pay for it in the village? And shaito has to do with time, like we said with the cow. Instead of looking at its value, how much it would be worth on market day, we look at how much it's worth right now. And Rashi, we'll look at Rashi now. V'shaito be'eved upora, the concept of as it is worth now, time wise, has relevance with regard to the eved and the pora. Shamarach atzmo, let us say a person dedicated his erech value, his Torah value. Umochu, and he is an impoverished person. The nidon behesigad, and is therefore evaluated according to his how much he can afford. Ulefima shiyeshlo, and according to how much property he owns, the value of it. No saint lehektish. That's how he is. That's how much he will be figured in having to pay to Hegdish. V'hoyolo eved hanisham achshav esrim zuz, and he happened to have a slave worth 20 zuz. Ein omrim, we do not say the following. Royin ki'ilu lokhin loksus b'shloishim zuz, v'hu mashbiach mono v'nimka b'meah v'yesrim zuz, v'nimtu d'meh ho'eved tishim zuz, v'chein yitain zeh lehegdish. In other words, we don't say all of this, that, well, if he had an eved that's worth 20 zuz, and it would buy, let's say that he would buy a suit worth 30 zuz. So this, with an investment of 30 zuz, he would then go up in value to 120 zuz. So that you have an eved that went from 20 to 120 with an investment of 30. so that it would come out that the net gain of the Eved's value after, you know, so you have something that's now worth, an Eved worth 120 minus the 30 that you invested, so his jump in price was 90 zuz. Once you subtract that investment that you made, you've got something worth 90 zuz, and accordingly he shall pay to the Beis HaMikdash. We don't say all of that. We look at things as they are right now. It's evaluated only based on where it is right now. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan v'nosan es ha'erkecha b'yoyim ha'hu. From this we say, shelo yishe margulis lekalim. We don't delay the margulis in terms of evaluating it and say, well, right, we'll wait till we bring it to the large town and see how much it can fetch over there. We don't say that. Lekalim is a reference to those people who are poor. If a poor man evaluated him, wants to dedicate his erech to the Beis HaMikdash, we look at the value his in terms of his property holdings in order to value how much he should pay based on the value of the margulis right now. Kodesh Lashem, that's the in the pasuk. Stam hakdeshus lebedek habayis. This teaches me that if a person says he wants to makdish something without telling us for what, we assume then that the conclusion is that the hekdish will go to the temple repair fund. That concludes the sixth perek of Erechin, and now we continue with the seventh perek, the Mishnah. This perek deals with the issue of timing. When a person sanctifies his field relative to the Yovel year. We know in the Torah that a stei achuza that a person dedicates to the Beis HaMikdash can be redeemed at a rate that's based on a 50-year value of Hamishim Shekel. Therefore, if a person's field was in the possession of the Hekdesh for a few years, he wants to redeem that field. So we make a calculation of how many years are left to the next Yovel, and he pays accordingly. We are, at this point, not getting into any details. We'll wait for the Gemara to reveal those points. Our Mishnah says, Ein makedishin lifnei hayovel pochos mishtei shanim. One is not to sanctify his field before a Yovel year, within 2 years. It means less than 2 years before a Yovel. So the Mishnah says, we're not to makdish a field. Stay achuzah. If a field was dedicated, one does not redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash within a year of the Yovel. Ein mechashvin chadoshim lehegdish. This concept will be illustrated in the Gemara, but the translation would be, we don't calculate months, which represent a fraction of a year, with regard to Hekdesh. Aval Hekdesh Mechashev Chadoshim. Rashi says, Aval Hekdesh Mechashev Chadoshim, Klomar, V'im Revach Shel Hekdeshu, if Hekdesh will benefit, Shinachshev Oysa, Yitzis Chatzi Shona, Shiyotza, considering a half a year that's already gone by, and the Hekdesh will consider that as a year. Ki hod meforsh lekamon, as will be explained later. Da akdesha bepalga da arboim betamni. A person, let us say, sanctified a field in year 48 and a half. In other words, there's just a year and a half left till the next Yovel. Di ichashvis lehi yitzia if you consider the half a year that has gone by already, and you hashvis it, you consider it as if it's there and has gone by, then havilei pachos mishtei shanim lefnei hayovel, you'll then have a situation where you have less than 2 years before the yovel. V'lo mifrika begirua ela b'chamishin. The redemption of the field will not be calculated based on the subtraction formula, but rather, if you want to redeem it, you're only a year and a half before the next yovel, you have to pay a full 50 shekel for that. The Eloi Hashvis Oisel Chadoshim Shiotsu, if you were to ignore those months that have gone by already, and say, well, they haven't really, in your mind's eye, and say they haven't gone by, Havile Shtei Shanim Lifnei Hayovel, then by ignoring their having passed, you will then say that you were in effect 2 years before the Yovel. Viko Pseido de Hegdish, the Lo Shokil Shnei Sloim Shnei Punyonim. Then Hegdish would receive from the one who wants to redeem it only two Sela and two Punyon, which is would be one Sela and a Punyon is per year. So there's, in this example, 2 years before the Yovel. So he wants to redeem it right now. He'll pay then only two Sela and two Punyon, one Sela and Punyon per year. Hochavale Mechashvin Oise B'Yitzia Gemura. In such a case, there's a very big difference between paying 50 versus not paying. So in that case, we will look at the months that went by as if they are there and have gone by. They really have gone by. And as a result of that, Hegdish will benefit greatly by receiving a much larger amount of pidyon from the person who wants to redeem it. A lot of the points that we just covered in the Rashi are based on an understanding of psukim, which will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. On the outside margin, you'll notice we have a nosei. We have a few of them you can see on our outside margin in the Gemara marking system, Shas Ozer, which is the Gemara that appears on your screen. We feature topic headings and structural notes that we call Mivneh from time to time. In this case, our topic heading reads, Hamakdish Sodeu Koroiv Lishnas Hayovel. We're dealing with a person who sanctifies his Steahuza close to the upcoming Yovel year. The Gemara, Viraminu, we raise an objection, a contradiction. It says in this source, Magdishin, Bein Lifnei Hayovel, Bein Laachar Hayovel, Ubishnas Hayovel Atzma Lo Yakdish, Vim Hikdish Eina Kedosha. Now this source says that your Magdish, whether it be before the Yovel or after the Yovel, it's Mashma from there that you can Magdish even within 2 years of the Yovel. Our Mishnah read, Ein Makdish Lifnei Yovel Pochos Mishtei Shanim, that you're not Makdish prior to a Yovel. You don't sanctify a Steahuza for the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash within 2 years of the Yovel. And here we have this Tanaic source that says that even within 2 years you can Makdish. It also went on to say that in the Shnas Yovel itself, in the Yovel year itself, a person should not be Makdish. And if he did, so it's not Eino Kedosha, the sanctity doesn't take hold. That's a translation. However, there's much more to be seen as we go on in the Gemara. The question, though, has been stated. Once again, Hekdish within 2 years of a Yovel. The Mishnah seemed to say it doesn't work, and this Tanaic source says it does. Rav Ushmuel Dami Chavayu. Rav and Shmuel agree. Ain makdishin. When the Mishnah said you're not makdish before a yovel within 2 years, it means ain makdishin ligoel begirua pachos mishtei shanim. That means that this concept of girua, which has to do with subtracting from the grand total of 50 sloyim, that a person that is considered the value of a steahuza during a yovel period. For every year that's gone by, we would subtract from that 50. That's called girua. However, ironically, you might say that if you are within 2 years of the upcoming Yovel and someone wants to redeem a field that he sanctified, he won't be able to redeem it and benefit from Giruah, but he'll have to pay a full 50 sloyim. And that's what we've written in between the lines. If a person sanctifies within 2 years, he'll have to redeem it for the full 50 selah amount. And once again, that 50 selah amount is recorded in the Torah as the value, the Torah rate of redemption for a total of 50 years. The Gemara continues. The kevon de ein makdishin ligoyel begirua pochus mishnei shanim. And since if one does sanctify, he won't benefit from the girua approach if he sanctifies it within 2 years of the upcoming yovel. Yehi odom chosan chosav, a piece of good advice here. Person should have consideration for his property. The al yakdish pochus mishnei shanim, and not to engage in sanctifying inheritance fields within 2 years of the Ovel, because that's just inviting trouble, so to speak, that if he wants to redeem it, he'll have to pay a lot of money. We now come up with a new topic. You'll notice under our Nosei heading on the outside margin, Machlokas Rav Ushmuel Beinyan Hamakdish Sodehu Bishnas Hayovel Atzmo. Imagine someone on the Yovel year itself decides to Makdish, to dedicate his field to the Beis Hamikdash, his stay Achuza. Itmar Hamakdish Sodehu Bishnas Hayovel Atzmo. Person who sanctifies his stay Achuza on the Yovel year itself. We have a machlokis between Rav and Shmuel on this topic. Rav Omar, Kedusha V'noisein Chamishim. It becomes sanctified, and in the event that he wants to redeem it, since he's in the Yovel year itself, well, till the next Yovel year, you're talking about 50 years, so he'll have to pay the full 50 Selah redemption rate. Ushmuel Omar, Eino Kedosho Kol Iker. If one attempts to sanctify a field in the Yovel year itself, it doesn't take hold. It does not become sanctified at all. The Gemara now raises a question. You'll notice this is a long question. We have a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with ascending vertical dashed line, indicating that these upcoming lines, and in this case it'll go to the last line of the Gemara, form the question. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Bishlamo le'inyan mechira. I understand in a different topic, and the topic here is referred to here as the topic of a sale, a person who sells during the Yovel year itself, the polig Shmuel alei derav. Later in this masechta, we will see a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding a sale of a stay achuza during the Yovel year itself. We know, in general, that fields that are sold during the Yovel cycle, when the Yovel year comes, they are returned to the original owner, to the owner that received it as an inheritance. What happens if someone sells a field during the Yovel year itself? So Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and Shmuel holds that the sale doesn't take hold at all. And since the sale doesn't take hold at all, if someone, let's say, paid for such a field, he'll get his money back. So on that issue, Shmuel disagrees with Rav, Rav holding that the sale does take place, and the person who paid his money basically loses it because the field goes back, but the sale still is said to have taken place. Shmuel's opinion, though, is that the sale isn't even registered. So I can understand that Shmuel disagrees with Rav there. Iko lemeimar kalvachomer. Shmuel has kalvachomer logic to base himself on in concluding that a sale during the Yovel year doesn't take hold. And how does that kalvachomer work? Uma mechura kvar yoitza achshav, as we mentioned before, a field that happened to have been sold before a Yovel year, when the Yovel year comes, it leaves the purchaser's holding. she'eino mechura, something that hadn't been sold prior to the Yovel year and sold on the Yovel year itself, eino din shelo timocher, all the more so the sale shouldn't take hold. Once again, just to review this logic, if the Yovel year is responsible for the exiting of fields that had been sold prior to the Yovel year, so with regard to the Yovel year itself, then certainly the sale will not take hold. That's as far as the logic in the case of sales of fields. Elahocha, but in the case of Makdish, someone who is Makdish the Steachuza, Mi Iko Lemeimar Kalvachomer, is there Kalvachomer logic? The Kalvachomer logic would have said, mind you, something that was sanctified before the Yovel would go out of Hegdish without any redemption. Something that had not been sanctified before the Yovel, certainly if you tried to sanctify it during the Yovel, it won't take hold. Yeah, but we're going to see that logic doesn't apply. V'hotnan, higia yovel v'lo nigala, if the Yovel year came and there was a steachuza that had been sanctified, koyanim nichnasim l'soicha v'noisnin domeha, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, koyanim enter the land, but they have to pay its value to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, from this one gets a sense that if the Yovel year arrives and it wasn't redeemed by the original owner, Kohanim don't get it automatically. It's not as if it leaves Hegdish. The Kohanim will get it if they pay money for it. If not, so it doesn't leave Hegdish. So that the logic we saw before with regard to sales, where something sold before the Yovel leaves the owner and goes back, here, something sanctified before the Yovel doesn't leave Hegdish automatically. So how does Shmuel arrive at his conclusion that something sanctified during the Yovel doesn't take hold at all? The Gemara answers, Shmuel Kribi Shimon Svirle. Shmuel's opinion is not like that of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda we saw in this source, but rather he holds like Rebbe Shimon. The Omar Nichnosin Velo Nosnin. Those Kohanim enter the field that had been sanctified, and they don't pay anything. They don't pay anything, so that we can use the Kal V'chomer, namely something that was sanctified before the Yovel year. We see that when the Yovel year comes, it leaves, no strings attached, it leaves the Rishus of Hegdish and goes to the Kehanim. Certainly, something that was sanctified during the Yovel year itself, the sanctification won't take hold. The Rav, what's Rav's response to this now? Because after all, Rav holds that if something sanctified during the Yovel year, it does take hold. The Rav, he says, so Rav Sovar, Soif Soif, Levaila Mika Hadra. The Kavachomer that Shmuel, basing himself on Rabbi Shimon, was trying to say isn't really parallel. It's not parallel to the case of Mechira. In the case of Hegdish, let's see, does it leave Hegdish and go back to the original owner? No, it doesn't leave Hegdish and go to the original owner. It goes to the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash during the period of the entrance of the Yovel year. Rav says, does it go back to the original owner? No, the Kohanim hu denafka, the Kohanim mishulchan gavoa kazachu. What happens is, during the Yovel year, according to Rabbi Shimon, if it hasn't been redeemed, it goes to the Kohanim, but that does not constitute a departure from Hegdish. The Kohanim are said to be beneficiaries from the Shulchan Gavoah, from the holy or heavenly table, so to speak. Meaning, for our purposes, we can just view them as an extension of the arm of Hegdish. And therefore, whatever you might hold by Mechira during the Yovel year, arriving at that through through the Kal V'chomer we mentioned before, that same logic doesn't apply in the case of someone who is makdish, sanctified something during the Yovel year. the Gemara goes on, my taimo the Rav. What's the basis of Rav's opinion that says that if one sanctified something during the Yovel year, it takes hold? And not only that, but if one wants to then redeem it, he'll have to pay a full 50 sloyim. So the Gemara answers, well, Rav's opinion is based on psukim. The psukim are found in Vayikra, Perek Chof Zayin, primarily psukim Yud Zayin and Yud Ches. We've included on the side of our Gemara, you can see it on the screen in small print, psukim Tezayin through Yud Ches, which speak about someone's sanctifying his inheritance field, his steachuza. And there are two psukim. Pasuk Yud Zayin mentions im mishnas hayovel. One can see this, by the way, by just glancing at the side of your Gemara. It says in Yud Zayin im mishnas hayovel yakdish sodeu keerkecha yakum, which says that if mishnas hayovel, and we can't translate that right now. This is going to be the central point of the Gemara. But from mishnas hayovel he had sanctified it. So then he pays keerkecha yakum. He pays 50 selah. Pasuk Yud Ches says, "V'im achar ha'yovel yakdish." If after the yovel he sanctified the field, then we use the subtraction formula that we referred to before, called girua. And the pasuk says, "V'chishev lo hakoyin es hakesef al pi hashonim hanoisorois." A calculation is made by the kohen, calculating the number of years that remain till the next yovel. Venigra me'erkecha, and then he subtracts from the 50 a sela and punyon per year, and the balance that's left he pays to the Beis Hamikdash to redeem the field. So that if a field was sanctified after the yovel, so then, as we said, the calculation is made based on the number of years that remain till the next yovel. So as far as Rav is concerned, we asked before, where does Rav see the idea of one sanctifying during the Yovel year itself? The sanctification takes hold and he'll have to pay 50 shekel for the redemption. The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'im mishnas hayovel, ushnas hayovel bichlal. When the Pasuk says, mishnas hayovel, this includes the Yovel year itself. So the Pasuk had read, im mishnas hayovel yakdish, that he sanctifies the field, mishnas hayovel. Now you're telling me that includes the Yovel year itself. And the Pasuk went on to say, you'll have to pay what the Pasuk's term was, kerkecha yakum, which means, if you look at Rashi on Chumash, you can see he spells it out, that this is a reference to the payment of the full 50 in order to redeem it. Just to review that again, if one were to sanctify a field during the Yovel year itself, he'll pay a full 50 selah to redeem it at that point. Shmuel's response to this is, Miksiv v'im bishnas hayovel. Does the Pasuk say, refer to a sanctification during the Yovel year itself? Mishnas hayovel ksiv. Mishnas she'achar hayovel, from the year after the yovel. The mem is a letter indicating from, not including. In other words, if from the yovel, after the yovel year, he dedicates his field, so then, and he wants to redeem it immediately, so he'll have to pay the full 50. The Gemara continues, Bishlamo l'Rav, according to Rav that said that it becomes sanctified even during the Yovel year itself, Hainu dichtiv, im mishnas hayovel, that's one pasuk, v'im achar hayovel. The im mishnas hayovel referred to the redemption at a rate of 50, and the other pasuk speaks about redemption based on the subtraction formula. So that we have two different situations. One referring to the Yovel year itself, and one referring to sanctification after the Yovel year. Ela l'Shmuel, my achar hayovel. But according to Shmuel, what is meant by the Pasuk that speaks about Girua, namely Pasuk Yud Ches, that speaks about sanctification after the Yovel year? According to Shmuel, the first Pasuk also, the Pasuk before, also was referring to a sanctification after the Yovel year. And now, then you would have a problem, because if Pasuk Yudches is a reference to after the over-year sanctification, and then the subtraction formula kicks in, that would contradict with what Pasuk Yudzayin says, a sanctification after the over-year, and redemption based on, or with the possibility of redemption, paying a full 50. The Gemara answers, when, according to Shmuel, what does Achar HaYovel in Pasuk Yudches mean? It means Achar Achar. It means 2 years after the Yovel year. The Pasuk Yudzayin says Im Mishnas HaYovel. That's a reference to the first year after the Yovel year. And Pasuk Yudches is a reference to 2 years after the Yovel year. Looking at Rashi on the fourth line from the top, Achar Achar, Kagon Shtayim V'Sholoshonim Achar Yovel. If a person sanctifies his field 2 or 3 years after the Yovel itself, Iko Girua, then the subtraction formula kicks in, where you would take 50 and subtract the number of years that have already gone by since the Yovel, and the balance, when we say subtract, you subtract per year, a sela and punyon, sela and a little bit more per year that has gone by, and the balance based on the number of years that remain till the next yovel is what you'll have to pay to redeem that field. Rashi goes on, Aval, Akdisha b'shosu debosur yovel, if a person sanctified his field literally the year after the yovel year, leko girua, then there is no subtraction rate. The Gemara continues, Meisvei. Now here we introduce a new geometric form as far as this, as far as today's sugya is concerned. You see a note on the side called the Mivneh. Mivneh is a structural note. The triangles, and you have one here, and further down on the page you see there is a second triangle, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text you see that we've even numbered them, 1 and 2. These are kushyos al Rav. These represent challenges to Rav's opinion. Before we go further, just to review the two opinions. Rav mentions that if someone sanctifies during the Yovel year itself, the sanctification takes hold. According to Shmuel, it doesn't take hold. Meisvei, the Tanaic source says, Makdishin bein lifnei hayovel bein laachar hayovel. Ubishnas hayovel atzmo lo yakdish. And if one sanctifies something during the Yovel year itself, he sanctifies his inheritance field, his steachuz of the Yovel year itself, he shouldn't do that. V'im hikdish ein kedusha. And if he does it, the kedusha does not take hold. Well, that sounds very much against Rav. So we have a Tanaic source challenging Rav. Omar loch Rav. Rav answers, Eino kedusha ligoyel begirua, avo kadosh v'noisnum chamishim. What was meant by Eino kedusha at the end of this source is that it doesn't become sanctified with the resultant subtraction formula that would be used for redemption. But it is sanctified, and if you want to redeem it, you'll have to pay the full bill. Just to review that again, the source that says if one sanctifies during the Yovel year itself, the source that read it's Eino Kedusha, it doesn't mean that there's no sanctification that takes hold. It does become sanctified. All that was meant is it does not become sanctified with the built-in subtraction rate, the subtraction formula for redemption. Let's continue in the Gemara. Michla, we can infer from this source. The source said at the end that during the Yovel year itself, if one sanctifies, it becomes sanctified without the Girua formula. It does become sanctified, but it lacks, you can't use the Girua formula for redemption. We can infer from this, though, Michlal de Lifnei HaYovel Kedoshe Ligoyel Begirua. The same source said that you're Makdish before and after the Yovel. So we can infer from this that the Makdishin mentioned in the source that if one sanctifies before the Yovel, so any sanctification before the Yovel, you will be able to use the subtraction formula. But there's a problem. V'horavu Shmuel di'ami travayu. Both Rav and Shmuel said, Ein makdishin ligoel begirua pochos lishte shonim. That you cannot use the girua formula if one sanctified his field within 2 years of the upcoming Yovel. And by the way, this we saw at the beginning of the Perek. You can see that we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating Omid Aleph. If you look back on Omid Aleph, you will see where a corresponding arrow, where this quote come from, and there it tells you to look at Omid Beis. So we are right now in the midst of a question. The question being, from this source, it said that any sanctification takes place prior to the Yovel, there will be Girua. But Rav and Shmuel both say that sanctification within 2 years of the upcoming Yovel, there is no Girua. Omar Loch Rav. Rav answers. Now, Rav has to answer the question raised against him from this Tanaic source. He says as follows, Ha moni rabbonon hi. This source that we originally brought in as a Kashan Rav, from the closing expression that if one sanctifies during the Yovel year itself, it does not become sanctified. In fact, and this is how Rashi explains the Gemara, in fact, it's like we thought in the question, that it doesn't become sanctified at all. Well, wasn't that a challenge to Rav? So the Gemara goes on, V'ano di Amri Karebi, and I stated my opinion that Shnas HaYovel itself, it does become sanctified. That's according to Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion was stated elsewhere. The Omar, Rishon, V'Rishon Bechlal, Shvi'i, V'Shvi'i Bechlal. Just like Rebbe expressed his opinion back on Daf Yud Ches Omid Beis, that when the Pasuk says, Mi Rishon V'Ad Shvi'i, it's ad v'ad bichlal, that times mentioned in psukim are times that are also inclusive. Hochanami, so too with regard to the yovel and sanctification, mishnas, the pasuk had said, mishnas hayovel, ushnas hayovel bichlal. And therefore, one who has makdish something during the yovel year itself, though the Pasuk said Mishnas HaYovel, but since Rebbe, when he looks at Psukim that have time in it, he views it as including the stated time as well. And hence, over here, Mishnas HaYovel means the Yovel year as well. And therefore, if one sanctifies during the Yovel year itself, the Kedusha takes hold. Before we go any further, let us look at the Rashi, Dibur Masel Omar Loch Rav. You'll notice that in the upper part of the narrow lines. Vadai ha dikotoni makdishin, the source that spoke about sanctification before the Yovel. Vadai litein chamishim ko'omar. It in fact means you sanctify, if you sanctify it before the Yovel, and it's within 2 years, you'll have to pay a full 50. Ubishnas hayovel eino kedoshu kol ikur. And if you sanctify during the Yovel year itself, it doesn't become sanctified at all. Velo tikshi l'didib, and still don't raise that source as a question on me. Da'amoni rabbonanhi, the source is according to a particular school of Tanaic thought called the Rabbonan. De pligi ole de Rebbe, that are at odds with Rebbe, beperek hesigyad. We've learned already earlier in this Masichta. The Amri, they hold Rishon v'lo Rishon b'chlal. When the Pasuk there speaks about Me Rishon v'ad Shvi, it does not include, Rishon is not included. However, I, says Rav, I go according to Rebbe, and when the Pasuk makes a reference to time, it's also inclusive of that time. Let us continue in the Gemara. E Kerebi. If Rav's approach is based on Rebbe's shita, Rebbe's opinion, that Mishnas HaYovel includes the Yovel year itself, Pundyon Mai Avidite. We know that the redemption rate, when we speak about a Stei Achuzah, an inheritance field that was dedicated based on Migdash, there is a redemption rate that is a Sela and Pundyon per year. We should point out that a Sela contains within it 48 Pundyonim. 50 Sela would be made of 49 Sloyim plus 49 Punyonim. With regard to the Punyon, we're deliberately not being precise. We're being very close, though. 49 Sela plus 49 Punyonim will get you a total of 50. What's the per year rate, since the Yovel year represents year 50? 50. From after the Yovel year till the next Yovel year, you'll have 49 years, each year being worth a Sela and Punyon. The total of 49 times that amount will get you to the 50 Sela that the Torah speaks about. However, if you are going to say that Rav holds like Rebbe, namely, that one who sanctifies a field during the Yovel year itself, sanctification takes hold. Well, from that Yovel year till the next Yovel will be a total of 50 years. What's the per year value of that field when it comes to redemption? You would then take 50 and divide it, 50 years, divided by 50 to get the per, take 50 Sela, which is the amount that one would have to redeem if he sanctified it during the Yovel year, according to the Pasuk, as the way Rav reads it, based on Rebbe, sanctification during the Yovel year itself, you'll pay 50, because that's the amount of time that it would be sanctified till the next Yovel. How much is the per year rate? Well, if it's 50 years, the per year rate will be one Sela per year. Why then do we always speak about a Sela and a Punyon? That's the question. The Chiteima less lay, you might say that Rebbe himself doesn't hold from a Sela plus Punyon per year. But that's not true. V'hotnan. If a person had sanctified a Stei Achuzah 2 or 3 years before a Yovel, Rebbe says, Oimer ani noisein Sela upunyon, that you have to pay a Sela plus a Punyon per year. So where does Rebbe get this idea of Sela and Punyon, if, as we said before, Rav is based on Rebbe, and Rav speaks about sanctification taking hold during the Yovel year itself? From one Yovel to the next Yovel will be 50 years. The Torah speaks about a redemption of 50 in the case that someone sanctified it during the Yovel itself. You would then take 50 years and divide it by 50 to give you the per year rate. It should be only one Sela per year. And if you try to tell me that, in fact, Rebbe doesn't hold from the Punyon rate, but he does, in order to speak about a Sela and Punyon per year, you would have to say that the maximum number of years that it could be sanctified is really 49. Because if you take 49 times a sela and a punyon, you get to 50. The Gemara answers, Rebbe, k'Rebbe Yehuda, svira leih. Rebbe himself holds, like the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda, that holds, shnas hachamishim oile lekan ulekan. Shitas Rebbe Yehuda, it's a unique shita. He says that when you count the cycle of the Yovel cycle, you're basically counting 1, 2, 3, 4 until you get to 50. When you get to number 50, 50 is also year 1 of the next cycle. Being that that's the case, if 50 is also simultaneously year 1 of the next cycle, you really have a total of 49 years from Yovel till the next Yovel. Because year 50 isn't a year 50, which you're counting as 50, doesn't stand on its own as a number 50. It's true, it's called 50, but it also at the same time is called year 1 of the next counting. That being the case, if one is redeeming a field that was sanctified in the Yovel itself, basically it would have been in the Hekdesh's possession for 49 years. That being the case, the per year rate is a sela and punyon per year. Now the Gemara looks back to Shmuel. Shmuel's opinion was that if a person sanctifies a field during the Yovel year itself, it simply doesn't take hold. Let us now imagine how Shmuel will look at Shitas Rebbe vis-a-vis the Machloikis Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbanan that we just spoke about. The Gemara says, L'Shmuel, Lema Rebbe k'Rabbanan Svira Leih. As far as Shmuel is concerned, that sanctification during the Yovel year itself does not take hold. We'll have to say that Rebbe, who had made mention of a Sela and Punyon redemption rate per year, that in order to justify a Sela and Punyon as a legitimate per year redemption rate, that Rebbe k'Rabbanan Svira Leih, Rebbe would have to hold like the Rabbanan and not like Rebbe Yehuda, namely that the Yovel year itself stands on its own and does not count toward year one of the new cycle as well. Why do we say that? De'i k'Rebbe Yehuda, if through the eyes of Shmuel, Rebbe would hold like Rebbe Yehuda. Now, let's go over this again slowly. It's a little confusing, a lot of calculations here. According to Shmuel, that sanctification during the Yovel year itself doesn't take hold. Rebbe would have to hold, Rebbe who said Ad V'Ad Bichlal, Rebbe would have to hold like the Rabbanan. So that, granted, sanctification doesn't take place during the Yovel year itself, the year after Yovel would be the first opportunity for sanctification to take place. Then you go from that till the next Yovel, you'll find 49 years. And then we can say 49 times a sela and a punyon gets you to the 50 sela that the Torah spoke about in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Because if, as far as Shmuel is concerned, Rebbe would hold like Rebbe Yehuda, then it wouldn't, the field would not be in his hands, or in the Beis Hamikdash's hands, for 49 years. It would be in its hands only for 48 years. And as a result of that, Sela Ushtei Punyonos Miboyale, the annual rate would have to be one Sela plus two Punyon. In other words, you would do 48 times a Sela, and then 48 times two Punyons. If you do 48 times one punyon, you get to an additional sela. That would be a total of 49. 48 times 2 punyons would give you 2 sloyim. And we don't see Rebbe holding from an annual redemption rate of a sela and 2 punyon. He made reference only to a sela and 1 punyon. Al korchach l'shmuel, therefore, according to Shmuel, you'll have to say, Rebbe kerabonon svirale. Rebbe's, whose shita is ad v'ad bichlal, will have to hold like the Rabbanon that tell you that the Yovel year itself stands on its own. Let us look at the Rashi. Rashi we're looking at it in Dibur Masa Lishmuel, in the wide lines under the Gemara, Lishmuel di Omar de Hocha Moida Rebbe. Shmuel, who would have told us, in fact, Rashi explained this a little more elaborately above, in a Rashi we didn't learn inside, but according to Shmuel, that says Rebbe is Moida de Mishnas velo Shnas Bichlal, that when the Pasuk says Mishnas, here, as we saw in the Gemara, it doesn't include the year itself, because as Shmuel argued, it didn't say Bishnas HaYovel, but rather meant Mishnas. V'ashosa debosur Yovel Koikro, and as a result of that, Pasuk Yud Zayin was speaking about the year after the Yovel. V'ka'omar Dioyev Hamishin, if you sanctified it during the year after the Yovel and wanted to redeem it, you'd have to pay 50. Leimo Rebbe, Rashi goes on, the Omar noisensel punyon lishana, that the annual rate is a sel and 1 punyon. Kerabonon svirole, Rashi goes on, the pligi ole de Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe would have to hold like the Rabbanon who argue on Rebbe Yehuda, the ein shnas yovel sheovar miminyon yovel habo, that the past yovel doesn't count also as year 1 toward the new yovel. Ulevad hahu shasa, and besides that year, Yesh kan mem tes shonim. In other words, besides the Yovel, you'll have 49 years till the next Yovel. De'i k'Rebbe Yehuda svirolei, if it were so that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, de'omar ein b'yovel ela mem ches levad mishnas Yovel she'ovra, that according to Rebbe Yehuda, the Yovel cycle is made up of 48 years besides the past Yovel. Ukra b'shosu debosu Yovel koi, and the pasuk that speaks about paying 50, pasuk Yud Zayin that said ke'er kechiyokum, which meant you pay 50, that pasuk is, according to Shmuel's version of Rebbe, it's the year after the Yovel. How many years are there from the year after the Yovel till the next Yovel? It would come out that you're paying 50 for redemption for a period of 48 years. The moti selu shnei punyon. For 48 years, the per year rate would be 1 sela and 2 punyon in order to get you to a total of 50. So according to, if you're putting together all of these shitas, shitas Shmuel, that says no sanctification takes place during the Yovel year itself, and Rebbe, who says that the pasuk Yud Zayin that makes reference to 50 is a pasuk speaking of sanctification that took place the year after the Yovel. So counting from the year after the Yovel till the next Yovel, in order to come out with 49 years, you'll have to say that Your starting point, year one, is not the Yovel year itself. Only that way will you get to 49 years till the next Yovel. And that is basically saying that you are holding, that Rebbe is holding like the Rabbanan. Because if he were holding like Rebbe Yehuda, and your starting point has got to be the year after Yovel, because of what Shmuel says, Rebbe holds Mishnas HaYovel doesn't include the Yovel year itself. So the counting isn't going to start from year one, because year one happens to be the Yovel as well, according to Rebbe Yehuda. You're counting would start from year two, and from year two to the next Yovel would be only 48 years. And that would mean the annual rate is a sela and two punyon, and that can't be, because Rebbe doesn't hold from that. Therefore, as the Gemara says, al korchach l'shmuel, Rebbe k'rabbonon svirulei. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that, according to Shmuel, Rebbe would have to hold like the Rabbonon. Toshma, as we indicated earlier, the triangle represents a kashon rav. What was Rav's opinion? Rav's opinion is that one who sanctifies something during the Yovel year itself, the sanctification takes hold. This source says, from our Mishnah, it's a quote from our Mishnah, V'lo goyelin achar ha-yovel pochos mishana. Bishlamo l'shmuel lo goyelin la'achar yovel pochos mishana. According to Shmuel, it says you don't redeem after the Yovel less than a year. It's mashma from that, that in the Yovel year itself, there would be no need for redemption, simply because no Kedusha is chal, there's no Kedusha whatsoever. Ela l'rav, my achar Yovel shana. According to Rav, the Mishnah that says you're not goel after the Yovel less than a year, what is meant by after the Yovel? When during the Yovel itself there is a redemption possibility. The Gemara answers, Mi Savris Achar Yovel Mamish. Do you think that this Mishnah says you're not to redeem after the Yovel literally? My achar yovel. It means be'emtza yovel. The chokamo de lo malyole shono lo megareale. In order to understand this line, we will look at Rashi. The top, be'emtza yovel. Klomar, hai achar, the Mishnah that says, that was quoted at the bottom of Omid Beis, Veloigolin Achar Hayovel Pochos Mishona. That word Achar, Afinu Achar Esim Ushloishim Shonakoi, can mean even after 20 or 30 years. Umay Pochos Mishona de Ka'omar. What is meant by Pochos Mishona? The Mishnah said, Ein Golin Achar Hayovel Pochos Mishona. So Achar doesn't mean literally the year after Yovel, but it's a different halacha, there's a different point being conveyed over here. What does that mean? Hachi ka'omar, habol ligoil be'emtza Yovel. A person who comes to redeem a field in the middle of the Yovel year itself. V'litein sela u'punyon lishonim haboyim. And he wants to pay a sela and punyon based on the number of years that remain till the next Yovel. And he's standing in the month of Nisan, which is in the middle of the year. Lo yoimar, he shall not say, chatzi sela v'chatzi punyon, ani noisei mishona zu, that since there remains only a half year left to this particular year that I'm standing in, I'm only going to pay a half of sela and half a punyon toward this year. Elo noisei sela punyon sholem. Rather, he has to pay a full sela and punyon. V'hainu dekomar ein goyelin bepochos mishona. The expression that ein goyelin bepochos mishona means dekama delo nafka lekula shosa, that as long as the entire year has not passed, lo migule klal, you can't apply the subtraction formula to that year at all. V'lo yoyiv geulas chatzi shona elo geulas shona shlema. He can't pay a redemption for just half a year that remains, but rather he'll have to pay for the whole year. The Gemara at the top, again, the Chokama de lo malyale shona, that as long as a year hasn't been completed, lo migurele, he can't subtract that. The Gemara asks, my komash molon, what's the point then of this line of the Mishnah? Di ein mechashvin chadoshim imai hekdish, that we don't consider, we don't assign importance to months with regard to Hekdesh. Ha behedya katani, that's already stated explicitly, ein mechashvin chadoshim imai hekdesh. So there's a now there's a redundancy in the Mishnah. Once again, if you're going to say, as Rav says, "V'loigoyelin achar hayovil pochos mishana," is a reference to this idea that we don't look at the months that have passed as having significance. That is the same thing as the line in the Mishnah that says, "Ein mechashvin chadoshim lehekdish." So the Gemara answers, "Ma tam komar." You really have to read the two lines together as follows. Matam loy goyalin laachar yoivel pochos mishona. Why is it that after that, if there's less than a year that has passed, we don't reckon the amount of time that's passed as having significance? Mishum di ein mechashven chadoshim imahegdish. That if, as we said in our example before, if a person is in the middle of the Yovel year itself, and it's Pochos Mishana has passed, only a few months have passed, we don't reckon the months that have passed of has having any significance. That is because of this rule that Ein Mechashven Chadoshim Imahekdish. Looking at Rashi, Shein Mechashven Chadoshim Imahekdish, Kidamoran, as we explained, let's say someone came to redeem a field 5.5 years before the next Yovel. We don't consider the 6 months that have passed already from that sixth year before the, because we said he's 5.5 years before, so he's in the middle of the sixth year before the next Yovel. No, saying shisha sloim v'shisha punyonim, he has to pay a full 6 sloim and 6 punyonim. The Mishnah had said ein mechashvin chadoshim v'chulei. Tonu rabbanan, minayin she'ein mechashvin chadoshim im ha'hekdish. From where do we know this, that when you're dealing with hekdish, we don't give consideration or significance to those months that have passed when you're dealing with hekdish? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "V'chishav lo akoines hakesef al pi hashonim hanoisoros." Calculation is made when it comes to the redemption of a field from hekdish based on the number of years that remain. Shonim atom mechashev, full years are calculated. V'atom mechashev chadoshim, and we do not calculate months that have already passed, but rather we roll the time back to the beginning of that particular year. Minayin shimata roitzel asus chadoshim lishona oise. From where do you know that if several months have passed from a given year, and to make it and to consider it as if they haven't passed, that you can do such a thing? And here there's a little interruption. The Gemara interrupts. Hence, we have these brackets. The end of the line, you have the answer to this question, where it says Talmud Lomar v'chishav lo akoyim mikomakom. But in the brackets, the Gemara interrupts and asks, "Well, hey, chidami, what is the case you're talking about here? You're raising a question of that if you want to consider months as having having significance, from where do we know that we do reckon them?" Kagon, the Akdashe Bapalga Darboim Vitamni. For example, a person who sanctified his field 48.5 years since the last Yovel. In other words, there's a year and a half remaining toward the next Yovel. Let us glance at the Rashi. The Hechi Rashi Laasois Choide Shona. Rashi, lachshov oisim chadoshim shiyotsu, to consider the months that have already passed, ki'ilu hein shona, v'havei revocha didei, to consider them as if they haven't really passed, so that he would profit from that. V'hei chidomi, da'akdisho b'palga demem ches. Imagine someone sanctified a field in the middle of the 48th year. D'ichashvis l'chadoshim shiyotsu b'yitziya gemura, if you were to consider the months that have passed as if they're gone and that we don't reckon them anymore, havalu pochus mishtei shonim, there would be then less than 2 years left to the next Yovel, the Einu Negelis Begirua, and you wouldn't be able to redeem it through the subtraction method, and rather you'd have to pay a full 50. So from where do we know, according to what this source says, from where do we know that at times you can say that the months that have passed have in your mind's eye not passed, and that if he's in the middle of the 48th year, it's considered really as if he's at the beginning of the 48th year. Tamad lomar v'chishev lo ha-kohen, the kohen makes a calculation, mikol makom. And that would include this particular case. This last point that we discussed in the Braisa is something that is subject to a rather lengthy discussion that one can find in the Shita Mekubetzes, in what's called the Hashmotus, at the end of a regular Shas Gemara, you will find additional comments of the Shita Mekubetzes. So if you look there on the Hashmotus relevant to Daf Chof Hei, Ois Beis, you'll see that he presents another approach to the end of this particular Brisa. However, we have in the Rabbeinu Gershom a more elaborate presentation of this last point, and let's learn it together before concluding today's shiur. We'll look at the Rabbeinu Gershom on the first wide line under the Rashi. Avol hektish mechashib chadoshim shona kin meforish begemora kegoin. We said that hektish has a right to look at the months as a year. In what sense? Imagine someone had sanctified a field in the middle of the 48th year. The I would have thought, that which we say that you can't sanctify and benefit from the subtraction approach, within 2 years of the Yovel, Hani Mili ki Akdisha Besof Memches. That's if you sanctified it at the end of the 48th year. Avo ki Akdisha Bechatzi Memches, if you sanctified it in the middle of that year, Lemo de Leheve Kemishikdisha Betchilas Memches. I would have thought to say, let us consider it as if you sanctified it at the beginning. Dahavu Shtei Shonim Lifnei HaYovel, Vidigo Begirua. And being that we're considering the middle of the 48th year as if it's at the beginning of the 48th year, you would then have 2 full years left before the Yovel, and you would be able to take advantage of the subtraction approach. In other words, a mere sela and punyon per year. Komash Malon, this Brisa is telling us, the Avdinon Hani Chadoshim Shona, we look at the few months that have gone by as if they're a year, meaning, what does it mean as if they're a year? Ki'ilu hikdisha besoif memches. It's as if he sanctified it really at the end of that year, mishum revocha de hegdish, in order to benefit hegdish, the eno goyel begirua. He won't be able to use the subtraction rate. You have to pay a full 50 shekel or sell out to hektish. And that's what's meant. In the Mishnah, it had said that, but hektish can be mechashev chadoshim shana, just like we said that the months that went by are being viewed as if it's a year that went by. So that hektish has a right to do that. V'cheinami im omdo, and likewise, if it stayed in the rishus hektish eser shonu mechza, it was in the rishus of hektish for 10.5 years. Lo yachshev amaktish elo eser shonim v'isachatzi shonu yachshevena b'shonu shlemo im hashonim hanoi sorois. V'yitein v'ad oisachatzi shona nami sela upunyon kishona shleimu mashama soros adiyovel. Likewise, with regard to that example, we will make a calculation for hegdish to benefit from. So that our Mishnah is basically telling us that the person cannot look at the months that have passed and view it as if they have completely passed for his benefit, to, like the case we had before, if he's sanctified in the middle of the oval year, to say that all he's going to give is, because the months have passed, he's only going to give the rate based on the remaining months, that we don't say. He has to pay for the full year. In other words, as if the months that have passed have not passed. That's when we are, when that's as far as in attempting to benefit the individual. However, when it comes to trying to benefit Hekdesh, then we will say that we will look at the months that have passed as if they did pass, and that pushes him to the end of the 48th year, leaving only 1 year before the Yovel year. Under such circumstances, he can't take advantage of the Giroh, but will have to pay the full 50 Selah. So, from both ends, Hekdesh ends up benefiting. And that's what's meant in the Mishnah when it said, Ein Mechashin on the Mishnah Chavdal Raman Aleph, Ein Mechashin Chadoshim LeHekdesh, that the private person has no right to consider the months that have passed of a year, in this case of the Yovel year itself, as having passed, but rather will have to pay for the, as if he's redeeming it from the beginning, and he'll have to pay for the full rate. However, Aval Hekdesh Mechashiv Chadoshim, Hekdesh does have a right to look at the months that have passed as having gone already, and therefore he is considered as if he is holding at the end of that 48th year, leaving only 1 year before the coming of the new Yovel, and hence he cannot take advantage of the Gerua method, but has to pay the full 50. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.